The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hour number two, chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're live today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp, as practice is currently underway. J.C. Latham will join us when practice is over. But coming up this weekend, really looking forward to this at the Grand Ole Opry House. It'll be Sunday night, 7 o'clock. The Opry celebrates 30 years of Forrest Gump, the fantastic film featuring Gary Sinise and the Lieutenant Dan Band, plus many, many others. Then the fine actor Gary Sinise, who played Lieutenant Dan in the movie, is on the line with us now. Gary, good morning. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since Forrest Gump came out in theaters. So how special is it to continue that legacy? I know you do so much with your foundation that's based here, but how special has it been to keep this legacy going 30 years later?
Well, it's hard, a little bit hard to believe it's 30 years, but the movie seems to be in the consciousness of the American public ever since it came out 30 years ago. It's always on television, and new generations are seeing it all the time. And you know, the Opry wanted to do something special, and we've been talking about getting my band over there. So this just kind of worked out really well, where we could have a wonderful group of artists coming in, and everybody's going to do a song from the Forrest Gump soundtrack. If you remember that soundtrack, it just had a ton of great music in it. And all the artists on the bill on Sunday night are going to do songs from the soundtrack and, you know, their original tunes. My band's a cover band, so we're used to playing covers. And we'll do something from Forrest Gump and have some fun that night. And they're also very generously raising money for the Gary Sinise Foundation, which is something that I've been very, very active with for quite a number of years.
So tell us a little bit more about your foundation and what all you do.
Well, the foundation is set up to serve and honor the needs of our veterans, our active duty service members, the families of our fallen heroes, our wounded first responders. We take care of families of first responders, fallen first responders, children. We do a lot of different things at the Gary Sinise Foundation. The foundation's in its 14th year now. I've been kind of very active with military and veteran support for a number of years, going back pre-Forrest Gump and all of that. And the foundation kind of grew out of a lot of the work that I was doing, supporting a lot of different other nonprofits that were in the military support space. And I started playing all over with my band and taking them to military bases. In fact, tomorrow night we're at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and then on Saturday night we're at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and then we come over and we do the show at the Opry on Sunday night. So we're very busy.
The great Gary Sinise joins the Chasing Big Joe show here today on 102.5 The Game. Gary, when did you realize that this foundation, that you were meant to kind of do this? Was there a certain moment? Was there a certain veteran you talked to? What was the genesis that you realized, I'm doing the right thing now?
I think there's a number of things that happened over the years. I have a lot of veterans in my family, so it kind of starts there with me. My dad was in the Navy, and his two brothers were in World War II, and their father, my grandfather, was served in the Army in World War I. And on my wife's side of the family, a lot of veterans, Vietnam veterans. And then I got very involved with supporting Vietnam veterans back in the 80s. Then I played Lieutenant Dan in the 90s, and he was a wounded veteran. And that started me working with our wounded through the Disabled American Veterans Organization. That relationship goes back 30 years. And then I felt after September 11th, I was kind of teed up to support the men and women who were deploying to Afghanistan and Iraq. And so I started visiting them with the USO and performing with my band and supporting a lot of other military charities. And then it just became clear after a number of years of doing that, that my next step was to create my own nonprofit. It was clear that I was just going to stay very active with this, and I wanted to be able to raise additional money so we could expand programs and I could employ people to help me do it. And now the foundation's in its 14th year. We've raised, over $400 million in the last several years. And we've deployed those resources all over, doing all kinds of great things. You can learn a lot more about it if you go to the Gary Sinise Foundation website, GarySiniseFoundation.org, and you'll find out a lot of good things that we're doing for a lot of great people who deserve it.
I read somewhere 92 adaptive homes you guys have put together and built. Is that correct?
These are smart technology, mortgage-free adaptive homes for very badly wounded service members. So I started doing it before I had my foundation. I was raising money to build homes. The first one I was involved in goes back to 2010, where I donated my band to raise money for the first surviving quadruple amputee. He was blown up in Iraq and lost both his arms and both his legs. And then we ended up having four more quadruple amputees. So ended up raising money to build homes for all of them. And then when I started my foundation, we just created a program. The program's called RISE, Restoring Independence, Supporting Empowerment. And we want to, when somebody gets blown up, they lose their arms, they lose their legs, they have a traumatic brain injury, they're burns, they're blinded, whatever it is, they lose their independence. They have to depend on a lot of other people. So we build these homes so that they can have more independence in their own home. They can get themselves around a lot better. We can help the caregivers by we put in all kinds of things. If somebody's paralyzed or something, we'll put in a crane that will kind of on the ceiling that will lift them out of the bed and take them into the bathroom and all kinds of things. So all those, there's a ton of videos on our YouTube channel at the Gary Sinise Foundation that shows these beautiful homes that we're building. Somebody gives up their arms and legs for our country, I think, we can pitch in and give something back to them.
Amen.
There is no doubt about that. Gary Sinise is on the line with us. The Opry celebrates 30 years of Forrest Gump. It's coming up Sunday night at 7 o'clock at the Grand Ole Opry House. So I'm curious, and when you were presented with the role of Lieutenant Dan, and what all went into your research and putting yourself into that part? Because obviously you can read a script and kind of know what they're expecting, but what were some different things that you did to really throw yourself into the role?
Yeah, well, as I said, I have Vietnam veterans in my family on my wife's side, so I started kind of working in support of Vietnam veterans back in the 80s, of good 10, 12 years before Forrest Gump came along. So I was kind of teed up for it, but I hadn't met a lot of amputees, a lot of wounded service members. I'd met some Vietnam veterans who'd lost their legs, but I had to dig into that research to make sure that I could, I could do that properly and honestly. And there was a book that I read. I remember it's called Fortunate Son. It was written by Lewis Puller. His father was Chesty Puller, who is, I think he's the most highly decorated Marine officer ever, and his son went off to war in Vietnam and got blown up, lost both his legs and an arm, and it was very difficult. He wrote a book, and I remember reading that book when I was getting ready to play Lieutenant Dan. That was very helpful. And we also went out and we did some training, you know, and did a boot camp thing and went out in the woods and lived out there kind of getting ready to do all the Army stuff. I remember we were out in the woods. We finished up on a Saturday, and then we started shooting all the platoon stuff on Monday. So we were ready to go. And there was a lot of good things that we did. I went on a shrimp boat and did some of that kind of stuff to get ready.
Nice. We were talking to Gary Sinise this morning on the Chasing Big Joe show. Gary, when you're reading that script and you watch the development of Lieutenant Dan from this gruff leader to being very humble and seeing that come through the screen, I got to think playing that role when you watch it now is amazing. You know, in the part where he apologizes to Forrest and you jump in the water off the shrimp boat, I tell you, every time I almost start crying. I mean, and it's so iconic. And I just was curious, when you read the script and saw that character development, did that stand out to you?
Yeah. I mean, I very much wanted to play the part when I read it. Because, as I said, back in the 80s, I got very involved with Vietnam veterans, and my wife's two brothers served in Vietnam. Her sister's husband was a combat medic in Vietnam. So when, 10 years later, when the opportunity came along to play Lieutenant Dan, I very much wanted to do it. I wanted to honor the men and women who had served in Vietnam, and we remember what it was like for them to come home from war. Little did I know, though, that the movie would, you know, you can't predict how a movie's going to turn out. We knew it was a great script. I knew it was a great part. It was a great story. I knew we were working with Tom Hanks, and Bob Zemeckis is a genius film director. So all the elements were there, but you know, you never know how it's going to turn out. And then I remember seeing it the first time. They put us together in a little screening room at Paramount, and it was just some of the cast members and a few of the key people that worked on it. Very small screening. They showed it to us, and we all were we all were happy. You know, okay, it worked out. It's really, really good. And then it opened about a week later, and of course, was a big hit, and a lot of things changed for me. I hadn't done that many movies before then. So, you know, being in the biggest movie of the year, that changed a lot of things for the career, but also, you know, it led me to an association with the Disabled American Veterans Organization. They represent about 2 million wounded veterans, and they contacted me about 4 weeks after the movie opened, and I went to their national convention. They gave me an award for playing Lieutenant Dan, and I've been involved and supportive of them for 30 years now.
Gary Sinise is with us. And did the success of Forrest Gump and working with Tom Hanks, I mean, you ended up doing a couple more movies with him, Apollo 13 being one of them, which is another one. Did all that kind of lead to those other roles, or was that just kind of a coincidence?
Well, no, it was no coincidence that I ended up auditioning for Apollo 13. I mean, that was Tom's next film, and we had a great time working together on Forrest Gump. And I know Ron Howard. I didn't know Ron Howard, who directed the movie Apollo 13. I didn't know Ron before that. And Tom, mentioned that they should take a look at me. So Ron talked to my agent, and they told me to come in and audition for any of the astronauts other than the one Tom was playing, Jim Lovell.
Right.
So I could pick anyone and come in and audition for him. So I picked Ken Mattingly, who was the one who was supposed to be on the mission, but, they thought he was exposed to the measles, so they pulled him off the mission and grounded him. But he ends up playing a very significant, important role in getting them back once the disaster happens and the ship blows up. So it was a great part. I went in and auditioned for that one, and luckily I got it.
That's great. Gary, we're going to try to keep you until about 3 o'clock this afternoon with stories, if you don't mind. Do you mind telling the story about... I heard you tell the story. I want you to, for our listeners, about the scene where Lieutenant Dan's, I guess, grandpa dies in World War One, and how you had to reshoot that scene later on. Is that true?
Oh, I'll tell you. We posted a thing on the internet recently. I think it's on Instagram or something, where I'm showing this wrap party gift that I had. And the story goes, you know, there's those scenes where Forrest Gump says, Lieutenant Dan's, you know, he had somebody from his family die in every single American war. And then you see, I'm playing all the characters, right? I'm dressed up in a Revolutionary War outfit, and then I'm in a Civil War outfit, and then I'm in a World War One, and then I'm in World War Two, which is the last shot in the sequence. My character falls dead, right? Somebody died in every one of those wars. And it turns out that when they shot the World War II part and I fell onto the set, you know, kind of dead, the set moved. Like, you saw the set kind of moving around. And they said, oh, well, we can't have that. The set's moving around. We can't have that. So they had to reshoot that. And I don't know if you'll recall, but there's a scene where Robin Wright, she's very, very desperate and distraught, and she's high on drugs, and she's very sad, and she gets up on a building, and she's about to jump off. And right. They were shooting that on Wilshire Boulevard in California in Los Angeles one night. It was the last night of shooting, and they were shooting that. They were going to wrap up. So they had to reshoot the scene, so they built this little beach set, like a Iwo Jima beach set or something, on the roof of the building on Wilshire Boulevard. And so they called me and they said, you got to come down, we got to reshoot this shot, it's the only time we're going to get it. And so I went down there about midnight, 2 a.m. and fell into the beach on the roof of the building, of the apartment building on Wilshire. And that was the final shot of the entire film that they did. They reshot that one. And then they gave everybody this bottle of whiskey with Tom's picture on it, like a little animated Forrest Gump. And I still have that. I've never opened it in 30 years. I still have it just sitting on my shelf.
Oh, that is fantastic. We have to ask, you now live in Middle Tennessee. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm in the volunteer state, and I'm doing a lot of volunteering.
Well, we love it. We claim you now. That is for sure.
Yes,
Gary.
Happy to be claimed.
We're excited to have you, and obviously, the Opry celebrates 30 years of Forrest Gump coming up Sunday night. I know it's going to be a fantastic show. You can go to Opry.com and get tickets and raising money for your foundation and everything you do. This has been so much fun. Thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, I'm happy to be with you guys. So anytime. Thank you.
We will do it again. That is for sure. He's Gary Sinise. The Opry celebrates 30 years of Forrest Gump. Of course, Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump. He was in Apollo 13, The Green Mile, CSI New York. I mean, Ransom. So many different things. Ransom.
He stole Mel Gibson's son.
Yeah, and Ransom. Just
like my son. He said, call him anytime. Can we call him again tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it. We'll talk about more about Apollo 13 tomorrow.
Yeah, all right.
After covering Forrest Gump. A lot of fun. We're live today, Titans training camp. We'll get back into that. J.C. Latham going to join us before we get out of here as well, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You ain't nothing but a hound. The King of Rock and Roll bringing us back here on this Thursday. Chasing Big Joe live at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Titans practice. J.C. Latham going to join us whenever they're done. Either that'll be towards the end of our show or the beginning of Willie and D. Mace.
They
were out here earlier.
They were. We talked. Many thanks to Gary Sinise.
That was awesome.
I was going to see if he could apologize for Reindeer Games, the movie. No, I was kidding. With Ben Affleck a long time ago.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that role of Lieutenant Dan. What's one iconic role that, you know, has taken over? I mean, I'm sure there's – but, I mean, that – you look at Gary Sinise, like, oh, yeah, Lieutenant Dan. I mean, for other actors would love to have that where you just throw one movie, oh, that's Lieutenant Dan, that's Lieutenant Dan. I mean, an iconic role to take off like that. I'm sure there's others, but none come to mind right now.
I don't know.
I really don't.
I don't know. What's funny is I was looking at the cast for Apollo 13.
Yeah, good luck with
did
that.
Did you realize how loaded that cast? I mean, Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton, Kevin Bacon, Gary Sinise, Ed Harris was in it. And then if you're, you know, like me and watch like NCIS or 24, Joe Spano, who was on NCIS for a long time, he's in it. Xander Berkeley was in 24 and several other, you know, of those
who
action
was the lady that played Jim Tom Hanks' wife movie, Jim the astronaut, Jim Lovell.
Kathleen Quinlan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Fantastic actress. So yeah. Loaded.
Yeah, so I mean it just
so I read this about Apollo 13. So they're filming Apollo 13 at the same time Forrest Gump is exploding across the country. Because
right.
These movies are a year behind.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like everybody was so involved in the movie that when they would go out to eat or go out to a restaurant or take a break from the movie, people were like, oh, so they really couldn't get caught up in the hoopla because they were busy filming Apollo 13. But just to have that. And he's, you know, Gary Sinise said they've raised $400 million for veterans and their families and everything. And that Lieutenant Dan band is very popular, and like, he's playing all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so now he's a Middle Tennessee restaurant. Chase, you had a good point. We do claim him. Most people we don't claim, but we will claim him.
100% we will claim him. It's just crazy to me, too. Like, you talk about Tom Hanks. Like, that, the run he had in the 90s with, you know, all the movies that he did. Like, you have Philadelphia. Well, he did. I forgot Sleepless in Seattle. He did that too. He was in that. Big, you know, Big was that was 88. So that was the 80s. And then Turner and Hooch was 89.
Great movie.
Kind of started things.
Did you not cry at the end of that movie? I cried.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It was awful.
But then, you know, you get into the 90s. A League of Their Own, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Toy Story. Saving Private Ryan, You've Got Mail, Toy Story 2, The Green Mile, and then 2000 is Castaway. And then I forgot he even made a cameo in Band of Brothers. But,
that's right.
But, you know, he does Castaway in 2000. And then he obviously had several others after that. But, you know, he got to the point where he got so big that it was like, I'll do, you know, whenever I feel like read a script that I like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And he's in Nashville a lot.
He is. His wife's a singer. He's big in typewriters. There's a guy that has a typewriter salvage store in Goodlettsville. One day Tom Hanks is wandering around in his store, and there he was. But Forrest Gump is, of course, our favorite movie. But, you know, Big was such a fantastic movie.
And who was it? Was it De Niro?
Robert De Niro filmed almost half that movie, and the Penny Marshall's like, yeah, this ain't working. Get out of here. But Castaway's also good. Funny thing about Castaway is and I know way too much about Tom Hanks. So they filmed the first part of Castaway where he gets stranded on the island, and they dissolve out because he yanks his tooth out. Then the next scene is him with the long beard. So that production crew filmed up to that point. They took a year off, went and filmed a Harrison Ford movie like where he was a professor and he has an affair and she dies in a river. I forget what it's called at the same time. Then a year later, they took the break so Tom Hanks could lose weight and grow the beard.
Yeah.
And so it all comes together.
Wow.
And that's how Castaway was not CGI, how it happened. They did CGI Castaway, though, because a lot of the scenes were filmed during the day. And they put a different filter and focus on the camera, and so it made it look like it was at night. Anyway, I know way too much about that, and I'm sorry if I put you asleep.
We'll get back into Titans training camp as they – seem to be wrapping up practice. They're way on the far field. You got your binoculars. I don't know what you can see out there, but we'll talk.
Vrabel.
We'll talk. What? What's he doing?
He's in a tree. He's looking down.
We'll talk to J.C. Latham. Is that Mike Mularkey? We'll talk to J.C. Latham after practice as well. Live today, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. This week's Nashville's best deal is to the Nashville Sounds Home Run Derby X at First Horizon Park Saturday, August 31st. Buy two tickets now for only $30, and you can watch MLB legends, top female players, and local Middle Tennessee hitters compete in an exciting 3-on-3 co-ed competition. Buy your tickets now at thegamenashville.com/deals and be part of Home Run Derby X excitement. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday live at Titans training camp. Practice underway, wrapping up. Chasing Big Joe here. Looks like they have made some moves. According to A to Z Sports, they're reporting that the Titans have cut running back Dylan Johnson, who I thought was going to make the team. So that's good. Didn't even make it through a day of training camp.
It's all right, man. You try.
So that's good. So look, seeing some corresponding moves potentially out there is I've seen on the internet that Corey Levin, that they have brought him back as a backup center, and also a former first-round pick and linebacker Shane Ray. Reported to be signing. They need some pass rush help.
I forgot all about Shane Ray. Practice is done, Chaser.
Yes, it is. So we'll be joined by J.C. Latham at some point here soon. But, yeah, reports are Shane Ray, and he's out there, I guess. So that move has been made because he's on the practice field. TD tweeting that out. So Shane Ray joining the Tennessee Titans. What do you think about that move?
I like it. I mean, he's got experience. We'll see what he can do. Again, I'm going to, you know, not hold my breath, see what they can do and how much they can contribute. But that guy's got some talent. So that's not bad.
Yeah. No, not a bad move at all. So, again, Corey Levin now on his third stint, I guess, with the Tennessee Titans. And Shane Ray joined the Titans. They were here in time for practice. Like I said, it's hard for us to see. So looking out there and – I guess I could have looked at the roster, but would I have been looking for that? No. The answer to that is no, would not.
You would not have.
And they're not on here, so it's okay. I don't feel stupid after all.
No.
So there you go. Couple of changes there. Corey Levin and Shane Ray joining as Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan attempt to tweak the roster as they go through training camp. So practice is done. J.C. Latham going to come over and join us. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes,
having him on.
Me too.
We haven't talked to him yet.
We have not. And see how things are going. Obviously, God, the draft was 3 months ago. So he's been in the National Football League now. Remember the Titans for 3 months. It just went by fast. But, yeah, I mean, again, just, I want him to be all pro. I want him to be great if he's the best left tackle in football. I mean, wouldn't it be great?
Oh, it'd be fantastic. I mean, they had years of Michael Roos. Well, yeah, Brad Hopkins before that, Michael Roos, then Taylor Lewan. I mean, they've just had this, you know, continuing trend of, you know, stud left tackles. And, you know, now you add J.C. Latham to the mix. Hopefully he can keep it going.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. And that would, you mean, get him there for another 10, 12 years, that solves a problem for so long, which – God, if Isaiah Wilson had worked out, he wouldn't be here. J.C. Latham would not be sitting here right now.
Well, I mean, and he would have, you know, if Isaiah Wilson had worked out, you know, hopefully he would have been on the right side, and you never know. But man, that would have been something. But you can't look back on the past; you got to look on the future.
That's right.
And we'll see what J.C. Latham can do, and look forward to talking to him here in just a few minutes. They got done a little bit quicker. Well, they started earlier today, I guess. So finished at a different time today, so he'll walk over here. What's some advice you have for him as he goes into his rookie year?
For Latham?
Yeah.
I guess what do they always say, bury yourself in the playbook?
I mean, that's what I hope.
Bury yourself in the playbook. Try to get better each and every day. That's, you know, camp is not what camp was for a lot of us anymore, obviously, but I would just try to learn. I would soak up. I would ask Bill Callahan so many questions every day that the point Bill Callahan's like, well, just get away from me for right now. Too many questions. But I would just learn. And he seems like a guy that wants to learn and learn and learn and produce. So I think it's a good pick. And then just keep your head down and get the job done.
Know
you're one of 11.
The unfortunate part for him is even though he's a rookie and you know rookies are going to make mistakes and rookies have to have time to grow, he doesn't really have that luxury because they need this offensive line to be good, and they need this offensive line to be good now. And so, you know, Latham's got to have – he's got to be a quick study. And they got to know off the bat – like, they got to know in the next 3 weeks if he's truly going to be a left tackle.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If he's gonna, or if they're going to have to rethink it and shift him over to right, which if that happens, you don't want that. Like,
no.
I mean, that could be devastating to this team.
I totally agree. And I want to see him play, you know, with the joint practice with the Seahawks. I want to see him play in the preseason game versus the 49ers, the Seahawks. And who's the last one? The Vikings? Is that who they're playing in the last preseason game?
The
Is that right?
I think.
It's a preseason game. It doesn't really matter, but I want to see him out there in at least the first half.
I know they're all NFC teams.
Of getting those reps and going
Saints,
for things.
At the Saints.
Saints, yeah. Okay. I want to see all that goes on. So
you want to? I think we should go cover that.
Saints game?
Yeah, go down to the Dome for.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
We'll come back. Come back
but
on
would
Monday.
But would we come back? That's the point.
Well, yeah. Dr. Crane see us walk in the studio, just bloodshot eyes. And just
it might be the Dr. Crane show yeah. now from that moment
What's
on.
Wrong with you guys? We haven't slept in 2 days.
I thought it might have been those edible meatballs that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, no, it might have. It was that and, you know, who knows what else.
Wasp.
Down there. Look, wasp, yeah, they're flying around. I've told you, I've said this before, that the worst I have ever felt a hangover was in New Orleans. It's the worst hangover I've ever had in my
life. Don't you dare blame New Orleans for your malaise. That city did nothing to you. It's the best city in the country.
That city did everything to me when I realized that I could just walk down Bourbon Street with two drinks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they saw the all the bartenders looked out and saw me and go, "Oh, we got a live one here." This is easy pickings right here.
I still think every event should be held in New Orleans. I realize I do. I mean, I know they like Vegas and like Miami and New Orleans is a special place. If you've never been, you need to go. For those who've been, you know exactly what we're talking about.
There's people that went and go, "I will never go again. I'm done."
Yes.
But, yeah, so that's where it'll be. So J.C. Latham going to join us. We'll also check in, and I know Willie DeMace will check in and hear from, you know, different people from today's practice and kind of what transpired. But, again, the news that has kind of come out, they have parted with running back Dylan Johnson because they feel good about the depth. So, hey, that's great opportunity for Jabari Small if, you know, they're going to carry three or four running backs, which – you know, they'll carry three. You know, maybe he's got a chance to be showcased and make the team. But they re-signed Corey Levin as a backup center and outside linebacker, former first-round pick Shane Ray. And they are here. They practiced today. So we're sure Brian Callahan and others will talk about those new additions that they have brought in. It's that time of year. You know, you keep adding and tweaking the roster. That's what Rand Carthon is trying to do. We'll come back. J.C. Latham going to join us in just a few minutes. We're live today at Titans training camp here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're live today at Titans training camp here at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. We'll be at the Omni Nashville Hotel tomorrow.
Yeah,
so looking forward to that. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The buzz. J.C. Latham going to join us in just a few minutes. The offensive line kind of wrapping up some stuff, and then he will be he'll be over here. So looking forward to a conversation with him.
Yeah, he'll. I'm looking at. He's got a nickname that Deion Sanders gave him called the Trench King.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that's
that.
And Wikipedia is never incorrect.
Oh, no.
So we'll see what that is. But, no, it'll be good. I mean, it's J.C. Latham, number one pick. See how he's doing.
Yes.
Vital to this team going forward.
Looks like he is walking this way.
God, he's as big as the bubble. Good
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. Like, I don't do it as much now since Derrick Henry. But, like, I remember the first time I saw Derrick Henry, I was standing next to Floyd. And Floyd just starts laughing, and I'm like, "That's a big boy! Like, that's a big man! Like, you know." And Floyd's just like, "Yep,
right.
He sure is."
It's like tight end,
yeah, for sure. So JC walking over, and we'll join the program momentarily. We'll get him all set up here. Joe, you talk
good
for a second.
Go. I'll do that.
JC, how you doing?
First round draft choice for the Titans back in
Joe?
April. It's good to have him here, of course.
On.
Be the left tackle for the Titans and hope he's here for a long, long, long time to get things done and get him in before. We were going to talk mostly about Alabama football, if that's okay. Is it all right?
Yeah.
He's all about Alabama football. Yeah. JC Latham joins us on the program now. JC, how you feeling?
I feel great, man. Day two. Made a lot of corrections from day one. And, you know, I mean, as a player, you know, you just want to get 1% better every day. So I feel like I went out there and did that today. So, you know, still things to correct, but, you know, you can improve on a lot of stuff. So.
Did you have, you know, yesterday, I know you've gone through mini camps and all that stuff, but going into your first NFL training camp as a rookie here with the Tennessee Titans, were there butterflies? Were you, like, was it a mix of emotions? How was it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've never gotten nervous for anything. This is the first time I've ever been nervous.
Wow.
You know, just waking up yesterday knowing that, like, today was the day.
Yeah.
I was kind of – it was a little bit of butterflies in my stomach because, you know, this is something that you dreamed about since you were in middle school, honestly, elementary school, you know. So now that you're here, you know, OTAs was one thing, but now knowing that, you know, you walk in there and you see we got San Francisco, that's the first preseason game, and a timer on it, like, you know it's real, you know. So, yeah, it was a little bit of butterflies, but once, you know, the bullets started flying, you know, everything went away, and you just went out there and played.
So yeah. Coming in here, you know, you're taken out of Alabama, and I know you played a lot of the right side, but you played the left side. They want you on the left side here. What's that adjustment been like, even though you're just now kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of it, but what has that adjustment been like so far?
Yeah, I mean, true story, when I got to Alabama, I was a left tackle, and I never played right, and Evan Neal was there, so I thought how it went was you kind of put the best player at left tackle, you know, so I'm not going to say, oh, I'm better than – Evan Neal, you know, I mean, I know he's been here for 2 years, started as a true freshman, so I'm assuming
right.
Saban's going to put him at left. And then so I'm, like, telling myself, all right, let me start working out at right tackle. So that I literally started training right tackle, like, the day I got to Alabama. So didn't have no background experience in it. So it was a different type of transition. But once I got my foot wet and, you know, things started flying, I was good. And it's the same thing coming here, you know. Played left going into college, so it's just kind of just riding the bike again.
You're – Alabama legendary football coach Bear Bryant said football comes down to two things, blocking and tackling. You talk about all the extracurricular things going on off the field. At what point, though, will you be comfortable just to let your body, what you do, block and block and block? Is that going to have to take over when you get on the football field, all the mental, instead of all the mental stuff, or does it got to work together?
Yeah. I think it's a lot of different things, you know, but it does come down, especially on the offensive side. You know, you don't get nowhere if you can't block, you know. I mean, you look at all the great teams and the teams that were short, you can point out two teams, the Alabama team that 2021 year and, you know, the Joe Burrow team when he went to the Super Bowl. You know, both teams were at different levels amazing, you know, breaking records, MVPs, whatever it was. But, you know, they didn't have the best O-line, you know, and when it came down to it, that's what made the difference in, you know, reaching the top of the mountain. So, you know, blocking is probably, as far as an offensive player, the most important part of any facet of any play.
Your offensive line coach, Eric Walford at Alabama, loves you and says you are going to be the best left tackle in the league. When you got a guy who knows you deeply that way and says the future is so bright, how does that make you feel?
I mean, it means the world to me, you know. When he first got there, you know, it was my sophomore year, and the first thing he came in, he was like, he told us straight up, he said, you guys can put all the blame on me, you know, all the shortcomings, all the errors that you guys had last year, we're going to correct them all. And, you know, I felt like he walked into a unique situation with the transfer portal going on, guys leaving, coming in and out. You know, he only had one real offseason to develop the guys that he recruited. But, yeah, I mean, he just took a different level of accountability, and he held me. You know, he'll yell at me just as he'll yell at, you know, the fourth string guy who's on scout team. You know,
right.
he didn't care who it was. So when you got that type of praise from a coach of that caliber, it just means the world to you.
J.C. Latham is with us, Titans left tackle. And, you know, you got Peter in his second year. You're in your first year. How big is having Lloyd there as a free agent signing, a veteran in this league playing center? How beneficial is that going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's beneficial for the experience. You know, he played with the Denver Broncos. So coming over here, you know, we're just talking about, you know, how the NFL is being from a guy who's a real vet. And I'm not saying Peter or anybody else isn't a real vet, but guys who played multiple years.
Yeah.
You know, you get to talking like, hey, what do you see out there? Like, how is it? I mean, he went to LSU, so that's a SEC team. And
you don't hold that against him, I know.
Yeah, nah. Yeah. I think they won. I think that was back when they were, like, winning really good, like, blowing teams out. And so, you know, he's seen a lot of great talent. So, you know, being in the NFL, I'm asking, like, how does it compare and all that stuff. So we have a lot of talking conversations. And, you know, having that guy just right next to me and Pete just means the world. So
how do you – have you gone one-on-one drills yet against the defensive end, like Harold Landry and those guys yet? Have you done that so far?
I haven't went against Harold Landry. I went against AK a couple times already and just a lot of different guys. But it wasn't really one-on-ones. It was, I mean, honestly, it was live periods basically. You
right.
know, guys going 100%. So I've seen just the speed of the game. So the first day out there, I was kind of – little caught off guard. I remember we ran the first play, was wide zone to the right, and I'm thinking, because we're just in helmets, you know, and I see guys, just it's a different type of speed and intensity being in the NFL compared to college. So, yeah, I mean, just having that type of speed out there just really helps me get adjusted to it.
So Coach Bill Callahan comes in here and, you know, a unique situation getting to coach with his son as the head coach. But he's well known over the league of being a great offensive line coach. I know it's been a short amount of time, but how much have you learned to this point just working with a guy like him?
I mean, I learned a lot. I can't – well, not like the day I got drafted, I think I called him and asked for the playbook, you know, so I can get right into it. And that was like the start of something I didn't even know how deep he was finna get.
Yeah.
Like, I see, like, you got one play and you see it on eight different looks and eight different calls and all that stuff. So we're talking, and then it's each call has its own set of techniques within it, you know, and then you got the cadence. So we were just talking about the basis, trying to build a foundation with that. And then once we started elevating a little bit above that, you know, talking about, you know, looking at film with Trent Williams, you know, he coached him a little bit, looking at film of him, you know, the greats, you know, Lane Johnson, Taylor Lewan when he was here,
yeah,
you know, guys like that, Laramie Tunsil. So we watched film on that just to see, like, hey, this is similar technique to what we're doing here on this play. You know, this is what it should look like, and it's being done by a great guy. And he's going down to the intricate of the foot and the ankle angle that you're taking off the ball, you know, uncoiling and all that type of stuff. So it's been amazing. I love learning from someone like that.
How much do you practice when you're walking around, say, your house, your drop step? I mean, just kind of like, just I'm sure at some points of the day you're just kind of like practicing that. Do you do it all the time?
Yeah, I try to get a feel for it. You know, I mean, I like to play video games to take my mind off of things.
Yeah.
You know, sitting down in the chair is similar to kind of being in your stance. You know, you're already low, so I kind of get my foot into the posture that, you know, I want it to be, you know, just every once in a while just to make sure, like, hey, okay, this is the weight distribution, things like that. But I try to do all my work here before I go home.
Okay, so college football, 25, you're playing that?
Yeah.
You're doing a dynasty with Alabama?
So that's the thing, because I wanted to stay in the SEC. I didn't want to pick Alabama. They're too OP. I wanted to build up. So I started with Vanderbilt, actually.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, okay. So we're back-to-back national champions. We're going to go three-peat.
You know, you obviously just missed it, but how cool is it, like, if you look at the Alabama roster, you see guys you played with last year. Like, you know, and finally we got the real players on the game. That's got to be cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm so excited.
I mean, you're
for
on Madden,
guys.
So that'll work out.
Yeah. I'm excited for those guys. You know, I know that's a lifelong dream for them. I was a little bit salty when I was in my freshman year. They announced, they were like, rumors.
Yeah.
College football is coming back. And then for 2 years, they never made an announcement.
Yeah.
And then my junior year, they're like, it's coming back. It'll be out this summer. I'm like, of course I'll be. So I was a little bit salty, but it is what it is. So I'll be interested to know what my rating would have been, though, seeing other guys' ratings in there. So
Have there been any tournaments or anything in the locker room yet? I mean, I feel like that's got to be coming.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. Yeah, nah, but we really just play against each other online, no matter, you know, what it is. We try not to pick a crazy team or whatever, like Alabama or Georgia. We just try to pick two random teams and just go out and scheme for scheme, really. So
you led Vanderbilt to back-to-back national. Yeah. Look at you.
That's
Nate,
awesome.
Nate Johnson, I took him all the way. Man.
Just tell Coach Callahan you're going to be a coach now, man. Here's a question for you. Today is Bryce Young's birthday.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, you're absolutely
right. All
right,
here's
right.
a question. If you know him so well, how old is Bryce Young?
He's 23.
My man.
Yeah,
23.
Well done. Yeah, 23. I got to reach out to him. Yeah.
Well done with that.
So, speaking of Alabama, Coach Saban announces his retirement and just, like, rocks the college football world. Yeah. But you will forever be able to say I was on his last team.
Yeah.
How special is that to kind of have that bond?
It hit me in two different ways. I was working out, getting ready for the combine, and I get an alert that said, like, from Twitter, and I never get Twitter alerts, so I don't know how I got through, but it said Nick Saban's retiring. So I'm like, all right, I'm not believing this. You know what I'm saying? We almost made it to the playoffs with a team that nobody thought we could even – I mean, we almost made it to Natty, to a team that nobody thought we'd make it to the playoffs. You know, so I think
I was devastated for you in that game.
I'm thinking that, you know, another good recruiting class and, you know, guys buy in, you know, to the program, I think they can go all the way and win it, you know. And then my agent hit me up and he told me, and everybody's texting my phone. So I'm like, I'm in shock, you know, seeing that a guy of that caliber, you know, finally hanging his hat. But, I mean, he deserves it, you know. Well, I think it was 7 national championships at Alabama, 6 or 7. And then, you know, he's a great coach. He develops young men, so that's really what he's great at, you know, on and off the field. But yeah, I wish I would have just if I kind of felt that was coming out, which we could have just sent them out with a natty one more time.
Is it true he, like, when you come into his office, he's got the ring sitting on the desk?
Oh, yeah.
The coffee
table.
Such a flex.
So that was another time, like, I wasn't nervous, but I was starstruck. I had a meeting with him. I wanted to ask him as a freshman. I was like, hey, what's some things I can do, you know, to be better and help the team? And I went into the meeting. So you had to talk to his assistant first, which is crazy. I never had that before. So I go to the assistant, and I'm thinking I'm finna walk in. She's like, yeah, you got to come back tomorrow at 2:30. That's when he's available. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I come back. I'm thinking it's going to be casual. As soon as you walk in, all the awards, the rings, wow. And it's like one big diamond room. Like, so it just caught me off guard. So I'm like, all right, don't say nothing crazy.
Like, oh, that's awesome. One piece of advice you would give to the 17-year-old J.C. Latham right now?
Yeah, I mean, just stay working, you know, just keep working hard. I mean, at that point, I was at IMG getting ready for Alabama. I mean, it's going to be a lot of tough days, you know, but one thing that I kind of forgot a little bit was that we're all doing it, you know, and sometimes you'll feel like you're by yourself working hard, but, you know, it's other people out there who's trying to work just as hard, you know, so the sooner you realize that and the sooner you understand that there's guys out there who's willing to go further than you, you know, then that's when you really got to put the pedal to the metal and just crank it up a notch, crank it up by 10. So
beautiful.
Well, JC, we're excited for you. I know this is just the beginning, and you know, as we were saying, bringing you in, I think you're going to be here for a long time. But really looking forward to watching you grow and to play. And thanks so much for doing this. It's good to meet you.
And call Bryce Young.
I got you. Call Bryce Young.
Appreciate you, brother.
JC Latham joining us here on the program. Good way to end it. That'll do it for us. We will turn things over to Willie and another former disciple of Nick Saban, Derek Mason, that is coming up next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.